This is China Africa Talk. I'm Gao Junya. This week, over 200 delegates from around the world gathered in Beijing discussing issues concerning democracy. At the third International Forum on Democracy, Shared Human Values, officials and scholars delved into pressing topics including democracy and modern governance, democracy and the rule of law in digital times, AI and the future of democracy, and democracy and global governance in a multipolar world. What are some of the key takeaways from the forum?
China democracy is perceived to deliver tangibles.
How significant are the discussions to Africa?
This is very important for developing countries, especially in Africa, where democracy has had to face a challenge of governance efficiency.
I caught up with Charles Onunaiju, director of the Center for China Studies of Nigeria, to get his answers and more of his insights. First of all, how do you perceive the Chinese model of democracy?
Thank you. I think, to be very frank, in Africa, not just me, China democracy is perceived to deliver tangibles, and it is not far-fetched. In a living memory, in a generation, China has ended poverty, a scourge that afflicted humanity. China has broken the myth that poverty is a natural companion of human. And it wouldn't have been possible without putting the Chinese people in the center of governance. You couldn't have delivered such important milestone in the history of a people without putting them in the center. And the interesting and exciting thing about Chinese democracy is it is a democracy that originates from the people, originates from your historic context, originates from your challenges, that comes from your existential social reality. And it has developed a governance process that is not only inclusive, but is competent and efficient. And the most important aspect of this process, it continuously adapts and improves itself through continuous learning. This is very important for developing countries, especially in Africa, where democracy has had to face a challenge of governance efficiency. There has been a significant deficit in governance efficiency, even as we say, as we proclaim democracy. This is worrying. In the case of China, we've seen the evolving trend of its democratic process along with increasing efficiency in governance and more deliverables, more tangibles, more concrete being delivered, especially in the quality of the life of the people. So I think Chinese democracy has not only excited people in China, but has triggered tremendous international focus. And I can assure you, a lot of attention is being paid to it. In Africa, there is a talk that we need to do quite a lot in terms of improving governance so that democracy can deliver tangible and concrete improvement in the living condition of the people. And this is especially inspired by Chinese whole process democracy, which combines procedures, which combines adherence to law with delivering of tangibles to the mass of the people.
And Charles, in your opinion, what advantages does the Chinese democratic model offer?
Well, it is secured because it is centered on the people. That is the only way to guarantee democratic expansion. That is the only way to guarantee democratic consolidation. Because democracy is not an all-time thing. It continuously evolves. It must answer new questions. If it does not respond to new questions, then it is not democracy. It becomes static. It becomes something else. So for it to continuously answer new questions, which springs up with time, with development, democracy must be dynamic. And I think the interesting thing about Chinese democracy is ability to continuously evolve and respond to issues that crops up at different times. It gets continuously enriched. And I think President Xi has been very, very important figure in boldly advancing the democratic vision, democratic process, and also delivering democratic dividend. And this can be seen in tackling of critical issues, whether it is environment, whether it is climate question, whether it is shared prosperity, whether it is initiating critical initiative to build a global understanding. We have seen that Chinese democracy, despite its unique nature, has so much to commend itself to other people, especially to understand, to learn, to appreciate, and possibly enrich their own process with Chinese experience. Of course, democracy is much better when it engages the particulars of any particular society. But there is also lessons to be shared, experiences to be shared. And I think that is one unique aspect of Chinese democracy. It has continuously put itself on the public offer for people to engage the lessons relevant in the development of Chinese democracy. And I can assure you, in Africa and other developing countries, a lot of attention is being paid to Chinese democracy because it is believed it is a democracy that works.
Specifically, I'd like to know, in what ways has the Chinese model of democracy played a role in the nation's modernization efforts?
Well, I think very important. The strength of Chinese democracy is that it continuously answers questions that keeps cropping up at different particular times. And the challenge of modernization, like you know, some certain persons wrote a book in the early 90s talking about end of history. End of history had arrived in their context because, according to them, liberal Western democracy has proved itself at the ultimate. I think as at that time, China was busy building the important block of reforms, deepening reforms, and at the same time opening to the outside world. Two central pillars in driving her modernization, and prove conclusively that history, far from ending, is actually on the cusp of a new beginning. History was actually beginning. And China's understanding that of historical process, in which there are fresh starting points, turning points that present opportunity to be seized and risks to be avoided, is the main trend in managing the democratic process, engaging it to the reality of your circumstances, drawing appropriate lessons in enriching and growing it. I think China has been very astute in doing this, appreciating the democratic process, engaging it in its existential form, appropriating its advantages, avoiding the most terrible risk associated with modernization. And in this way, it has developed a critical handle. It has developed a handle. It has developed a mastery of the process. And despite all this, China still maintains, it continuously learns, improves on what it has. Because like you know, President Xi would always say, there is no end to better life. And since there is no end to better life, you must continuously evolve new strategies, develop new tools, develop new framework, develop new approaches to engaging issues as they arise. And this has been exemplified in the very important development of Chinese democracy. And more importantly, in its result of delivering concrete and tangibles to the people of China, and of course affecting China's relation with the rest of the world, especially with the developing countries, where these things are obvious also.
Yeah, just pick up from what you've said here. What insights or lessons could other developing countries, including African countries, potentially derive from the Chinese approach to democracy?
Yes, let me give you a background. First and foremost, you know, the excitement of multi-party democracy in Africa about 30 years ago, when military dictators collapsed and multi-party democracy was inaugurated, there were lots of hope. People were so hopeful that multi-party democracy will bring improvement in their living condition. I can assure you, 30 years down the line, there is so much disappointment. People are beginning to search for alternatives. People are beginning to say, look, this is a dead end. And the simple reason is, this we are taking hook, line, and sinker. without paying attention to the existential social condition, national condition, unique history of different countries in Africa. So it took nearly 20 years of the practice of Western liberal democracy in Africa to appreciate its failing, its deficiency. Today, Africa is paying a whole lot of attention to Chinese democracy. But like I said, or even Apedeshi has continuously said, there is no one way to Rome, which means there is no one way to modernization. Just as you have China modernization, just like you have modernization with Chinese characteristics, it is possible to have modernization with Nigerian characteristics, modernization with South African characteristics, modernization with Sudan characteristics. So what is important is to find the will. If you find the will to follow your own path, you will find a way. It is possible to find a way where there's a will to pursue your own unique path of development. In every country, there is a store of possibility. There is a store of potentiality that can be activated if you only look yourself in the mirror. Exactly what the Chinese are doing, looking themselves in the mirror, paying attention to their unique condition, their unique circumstances, and deriving institution processes based on the realities of their national condition. We've seen the success of this model, and I assure you, just as it worked for the Chinese, it will work for any other people who took it upon themselves to search for a way that is original to them. The most important is the existential lesson from China is look yourself in the mirror. You can find your way. You can find your possibility. It is possible you can drive your modernization based on your strength. And your strength is in your history, is in your national condition, is in your unique identity. You can use it to drive a process that can deliver as much result as the Chinese are doing. That is the universal lesson of China modernization. Look inwards and you can find a way.
Charles, I know, you were here last year and now you're here for the third one.
Yeah.
How do you evaluate the current state of democracy on the global stage over the past year?
There is.
Have you observed any improvement or decline?
There is what people have called democratic recession, especially in the Western world. It could be seen from the rise of extreme right wing, in fact, in sometimes fascist parties. You could see it in the United States. The demonization of immigrants, what is almost looking like the return to fascism, that is democratic recession. You could see it across Europe, the rise of extreme right-wing parties, hate parties, parties that build their electoral fortune on hate of other people. This is dangerous. You could see workers' strike across Europe. Cost of life is becoming, for the first time in the history of the United Kingdom, senior doctors, consultants went on strike. Across Europe, farmers are on strike, working people are on strike, life is becoming difficult, big businesses are cashing out, and working people, farmers, are having a rough time. There is no doubt that democracy is at a crossroad in the West. I think continued sharing of experiences, the whole process democracy of China, in which the rule of law is combined with a process led by the people, for me, is worthy of proper interrogation by all people, including the West. It is important that the Western political establishment step down a little from the Olympus heights of the arrogance and see that China democracy speaks to the practical need of the people. Of course, it is uniquely Chinese, but there are lessons contained in it, both for the West, for Africa, and also China. To enrich her process, we have to look to the rest of the world. And I appreciate that President Xi has continuously appreciated the mutual lesson that can be learned from mutual experience sharing. And that is why he proposed Global Initiative on Civilization. Civilization and dialogue and experience sharing. It simply means that China is willing to engage the experience of others to enrich her democracy. And it is also important that others pay attention to what is happening here to enrich their own process. The future of humanity is a mutual learning, mutual dialogue of different civilizations. if we learn enough from each other, we can augment our inadequacies and boost our efficiency and our competence. For the Chinese, your process is anchored on continuous learning. Never stop learning. Never stop paying attention to developments. And I believe the world will be a better place if we vigorously exchange experiences, vigorously mutually learn from each other, vigorously show respect to each other, and we can grow, we can add to what we already have. And that means we can mutually grow and enrich the process, and the world will become a better place for it.
Mm-hmm. And we also know that the U.S. often positions itself as a beacon of democracy. In your view, if the democratic system in the U.S. is effective, how do you reconcile this with its domestic and international conflicts that is associated?
Yeah, United States has come a long way in her own democratic experience. Nobody can discountenance it. It's worth paying attention to. But there is no doubt there has been considerable, significant deficiency because it has not evolved with specific time. It has not adapted to the emerging time, to the trends. It has not been adapting to the historical trend, because history moves, history flows. It flows in a very dynamic way. United States democracy is deficient in its inability to adapt to historical trends and enrich herself. I think her political elites is more interested in democracy as a propaganda tool than as a practical tool of improving their people's living condition. But if they appreciate democracy as a process of improving the living condition of their people, they will continuously adapt it to the contemporary historical trend, adapt it to the important need of their people, and then adjust it to the reality of the world we live in. But for most of them, democracy is simply an ideological tool to struggle for global hegemony, is an ideological tool to establish who is on the table and who is on the menu. And as far as they see democracy from this point, the United democracy will continuously be on a recession. And that will not be good for the people of the United States. It is our hope that some critical, important social force, especially the working people, will take up the challenge of rescuing democracy from the stranglehold of a very small elite and put it on the pedestal of continuous growth, adaptation, and fruitful use in improving society.
Can you share with us a democratic practice in your country that combines your own tradition and democratic values?
Well, that is the fact, that is the challenge for Africa. We are searching. Africa is in a crucial moment in her history where it has to challenge herself to her own potential in creating her own path to modernization, in adapting its inherited institution to the reality on the ground. That is the challenge for Africa, because what you have in most of African countries, including my country, is a copy of Western liberal democracy, which has all its forms in place, but it's not delivering. That's why in recent time, conflict, wars, all kind of antisocial behavior, insurgency, kidnapping, banditry, conflict of all kinds have found its way back to Africa again because of exclusion of the majority of the ordinary people from the process of building critical institutions that drive democracy. In Africa today, you have a key democratic deficit of democracy without the people. So the challenge of democracy in Africa is how to reconnect it to the essence of the people and putting people right into the center of the democratic project. That is the challenge of Africa today. Mm-hmm. Putting people right into the center of the democratic project so that they will become not only participants but become supervisors. Just like in China, somebody just mentioned President Xi is in Hunan province to learn, to understand. This is the hallmark of democratic growth. Subject yourself to understanding every day. There's no understanding that is total. You can only know more if you strive more. And your horizon, understanding, will only be enriched if you associate more broadly. Democracy is not a one closed thing. It is always evolving. Without adapting to evolving condition, without itself evolving and adapting to evolving condition, it becomes stagnant, becomes sterile, becomes puerile, and even becomes anti-democratic in itself. The main trend, the main element in democratic process is moving with the trend, appreciating the development of the trend. Because time moves. If democracy fails to reconnect with the historical process, it becomes sterile. It becomes a slogan, just like it has become in the United States today. It becomes a mere slogan in the hands of a small, narrow elite.
Last but not least, Charles, you've mentioned a lot of the problems that now the Western democracy is facing. But you know, some of the countries, they're still using democracy as a weapon, like against other countries, accusing other countries of not...
Well, like you know, it has become... Democracy has become impoverished because it has become a tool for political manipulation. It has become a tool for political blackmail. It has become a tool for ideological blackmail. It has become a tool for undermining others. And this is the major. So democracy is in desperate need of rescue. And I think forums like one Beijing has been hosting, first, second, third forums, are very important in rescuing democracy and placing it in a proper context. Because without continuously elaborating on the actual meaning of democracy, its essence, its practical importance in the life of the people, and why it should be seen to be visibly impacting on the people, it is likely to be obscured as an instrument of ideological struggle, as the United States small elites are doing. So whatever they say about democracy, it does not remove the objective fact that democracy is absolutely in crisis, especially in the West. And it is my hope, it is my wish, that forces of progress in the West, especially the working people, should take up the leadership in the struggle to reinstate democracy as a process involving the people, not necessarily as an instrument for ideological and political blackmail. So it is my hope, and it is the hope of everybody, that democracy could become what it has always been and what it should be, an important process for improving the living condition of the people. It should be in the service of the people, not the other way around. It should be a process driven by the people, in which the people is key driver. So I believe that even primary school students knew that democracy for most countries, especially for those in the West, has become a mere tool of political blackmail. And I don't think many people are distracted by that. Many people are focused on the substance of democracy, which is to reassert the centrality of people in governance.
Democracy remains a universally cherished value. It comes in many different forms with one core purpose: to serve and uplift the people. And that brings us to the end of this episode of China Africa Talk. You can visit our website, radio.cgtn.com, or search our program on major podcast platforms to listen to our previous episodes. If you have any feedbacks or thoughts, don't hesitate to contact us. Send us an email, radio@cgtn.com. I'm Gao Junya. Thank you for listening.